Chapter 3 Dooku's Magna Guards deposit Obi-Wan back in the medroom, holding her still so that the medical droid can give her a shot of something that makes her nerve endings tingle, her mind sliding away from the familiar pathways of the Force as they seem to ice over, numbed by the drug. While they've been at dinner, another cot has been moved in. Anakin had been sitting cross-legged on it, fiddling with a small droid of uncertain origin, but he leaps up when he sees her, scattering droid parts all over the floor. "Are you all right, Master?" he demands, hovering until the medical droid had followed the Magna Guards back out into the hallway, the door locking behind them. "What did he do to you?" "Nothing," Obi-Wan says, sitting down on the side of the hospital bed to pull off her boots. She feels tired and a little ill. Whatever painkillers had pumped her with starting to wear off, so that her entire torso is starting to throb. She sheds the jerkin and pulls the undershirt off over her head, trying not to wince as she does so, then starts to unpeel the layers of bandage wrapped around her torso. Anakin comes over to stand in front of her. "Master, I don't think I need to see it," Obi-Wan says. "I can't tell how bad it is." "It's bad," he insists. "Just believe me, okay? On a Republic cruiser, they'd probably put you back in a Bacta tank, but I told Dooku that you wouldn't want that, to be helpless like that." "Thank you. You're correct," Obi-Wan says, because Anakin knows her far too well. "I do trust you, Anakin. I would just be more comfortable if I saw it for myself." "Then at least let me do that," he says, reaching for the roll of bandages before she can agree. Obi-Wan relinquishes it, folding her hands in her lap. Anakin's lightsaber-calloused hands are quick and familiar, a light press against her skin. Obi-Wan doesn't need the Force to guide her as she reaches for peace, letting her breathing even out so that she doesn't flinch even when Anakin reaches the final layer of bandage, murmuring an apology as he peels it back from the wounds. "I'm sorry, Master," he says glumly, as Obi-Wan cranes her neck to see. "I should have been faster." "It's not your fault, Anakin," Obi-Wan says, while Anakin grips the roll of used bandage and looks distressed. She looks down, and rather wishes she hadn't, counting 4 distinct blaster wounds on her torso. At least one of them should have broken her spine. A 5th shot had punched through the muscle on her left upper arm, which would explain the stiffness. A 6th had grazed her right thigh, a few inches to the left, and it would have pierced her femoral artery. Well, she's a Jedi Knight. She'd never even considered a life without scars. "I'll find some fresh bandages," Anakin says suddenly, discarding the old ones and bouncing up to go inspect the row of cabinets alongside the back wall. Obi-Wan has no doubt that he's already been through them. No doubt where he found the droid he was taking apart. And he comes back in less than a minute, bandages preceded by the familiar smell of Bacta. "Hold still, Master," Anakin says, settling on the bed beside her. And Obi-Wan does. There isn't anything special about this, because they've bandaged each other up a truly distressing number of times in the past. Somehow, it feels different now. Her skin sensitive to her Padawan's touch as he presses bandage after bandage carefully against her stomach, to the wound below her right breast, to the wound that should have crippled her. She shivers a little, and Anakin looks up quickly. "Am I hurting you?" "No, I'm quite all right," Obi-Wan says. "The painkillers are wearing off, is all." Anakin chews on his lower lip, his face drawn tight with concentration as he places the last bandage. "They should have given you more." "I wasn't about to ask," Obi-Wan says, prodding the bandages gingerly. "Thank you, Anakin." He settles back, one leg drawn up in front of him, the other dangling off the side of the bed. "What did Count Dooku say to you, Master?" Obi-Wan pulls the undershirt back on, slowly, so that she doesn't strain anything. "Nothing important," she says. Anakin stares at her, silent and stubborn, the unused bandages balanced on his knee. Not for the first time, Obi-Wan feels the familiar flare of anger at Qui-Gon for being so inconsiderate as to get himself murdered by a Sith Lord, leaving her saddled with a precocious, Force-sensitive boy who had really been too old to join the Order and who has grown up into a still precocious Padawan, whom Obi-Wan would prefer to have at her side over every other Jedi in the Order, up to and including Master Yoda and Master Windu. "He doesn't have anything on you, Master," Anakin says, confident in his ignorance. "I mean, it's not like you've got anything to..." "He said you're in love with me," Obi-Wan says. The reason they never get sent on undercover missions is because, while Obi-Wan enjoys lying in both her personal and professional life, which are usually the same thing, Anakin can't tell a falsehood to save his life. He can keep secrets, which Obi-Wan allows because her Padawan enjoys the illusion of privacy, but she's never known him to lie to her with a straight face, if he can do it at all. This time is no different. Anakin's eyes go huge and horrified, every emotion he's ever had naked on his face. His mouth opens and closes three times before he manages to squeak out, "Master, Obi-Wan, I already knew," Obi-Wan says, keeping her hands folded in her lap. She hurts. The Bacta bandages are helping, but a day and a half in a Bacta tank and a few bandages doesn't make up for a half a dozen blaster wounds that should have killed her. She isn't used to healing without the Force to help her. The pain isn't really helping. Anakin looks slightly green, but he rallies himself to say, "I am in love with you, Obi-Wan. I have been for years. We're Jedi. I know it's not proper." He meets her eyes with the same straightforward challenge with which he climbs into his starfighter, his mouth settling into stubbornness. Qui-Gon had never really prepared her to train a Padawan. He'd certainly never prepared her for having this conversation. She doesn't even have the Force to guide her, which would probably be the only advice Qui-Gon might have given her. She swallows, wishing they were having this conversation anywhere else besides locked in a room on a Separatist Star Destroyer crawling with battle droids, Count Dooku not far away and probably watching this on the security cameras, deep in enemy space and far away from the safe confines of the Temple and the Republic. She's silent for too long, because Anakin bursts out anxiously. "How did Dooku know? What does he want? What does he think that will do? It's not going to... It doesn't have to change anything." Anakin is being honest with her. Obi-Wan owes it to him to do the same. "Because," she says, the words scraping raw against her throat. "He worked out that it was mutual." Anakin stares at her, anxiety melting into astonished joy, and makes an aborted motion towards her before he stops himself with a jerk. Obi-Wan watches him gather his distracted thoughts around himself before he says, "But why does it matter to Dooku?" "Why do you think, Padawan?" Obi-Wan says. "Whatever else they are, or aren't, they are still Master and Padawan. She has a duty to him." "He must think that you'd allow your emotions to trump your everything else." His words are scattered, as distracted as his mind probably is. "And me, that's why I'm here? I'm blackmail?" "That does appear to be his plan," Obi-Wan concedes. She raises her hands to her hair, wincing as it strains at her wounds, and starts unpinning her hair for sleep. Anakin picks gloomily at the bandages resting on his knee. "He doesn't know you very well," Apparently not. She glances at the security cameras. I need to meditate. You ought to do the same, Anakin.
I'd rather hotwire the door, Anakin says.
He's still looking at her with that half-desperate look on his eyes, but he holds himself back. He moves with a jerk, like a broken droid, and starts gathering up the used bandages, his gaze flickering back to her every few seconds. Obi-Wan looks down at her knees. She feels ripped open and raw. The whole evening had had a dreamlike quality to it, from the moment that she'd woken up with the taste of Bacta sickly sweet in her mouth, to Dooku murmuring his accusation in her ear, pleased with his deductive skills. Until now, until Anakin. Anakin has a way of making the world around him seem more real, awfully and terrifyingly so. I'm surprised Dooku let you have a wrench and a screwdriver, she makes herself say, raising her head and folding her legs up onto the bed, rather gingerly. They didn't. I found an unused sharp and some pliers in one of the drawers, Anakin says over his shoulder, stuffing the used bandages into a bin. And the droid? Cleaning droid. I thought about taking apart the medical droid, but I figured that would just annoy him. Well, maybe I should have. He turns toward her, his back against the wall like it will keep him from running. I'm sorry, Master. I really am. I tried not to be in love with you, but I couldn't help it. Obi-Wan should say something to that. I'm sorry, my Padawan. I've failed you. I tried not to be either. I failed the Order. But she can't quite make the words leave her mouth. Instead, she says, it doesn't change anything.
It doesn't?
In the past 48 hours, Obi-Wan has been shot, captured, drugged, and had her apprentice tortured in front of her. She allows herself 3 heartbeats to close her eyes and breathe in, reaching for serenity, and then says, it doesn't. We'll discuss it once this affair is taken care of, if you insist.
If you say so, Master.
Anakin stares at her, then seems to realize what he's doing and lets his gaze flicker down. Obi-Wan rests her hands on her knees, closing her eyes. Clean up this mess, she says, and folds herself into the familiar embrace of meditation. She doesn't have the force to ground her, and for a moment all she feels at the thought of all that emptiness is blank panic. But Obi-Wan Kenobi is a Jedi. She lives and breathes the force, and even if she can't consciously reach out and touch it, she knows that it's still there, waiting. Master, Obi-Wan whispers into the echoing emptiness of her mind, where the Force should be, stretching out backwards and forwards into eternity. Master, what should I do? She hardly expects Qui-Gon to answer, but Obi-Wan has always found it easier to think through her problems if she puts them into words, makes it a lesson like the one she'd had as a Padawan. Trust in the living Force, Obi-Wan. I can't. It's against the code.
The Force?
Soft amusement, Qui-Gon chiding her for taking things too literally. No, Master. My feelings for Anakin. We are Jedi, and he is my Padawan. This is forbidden.
What would it change?
Everything?
Nothing.
We are Jedi, Master. If we deny that, then we are no different than Dooku and his dark Jedi.
Trust in the Force, Obi-Wan, and do not let him win.
Obi-Wan opens her eyes. The room is dark now, the remains of the droid stuffed under Anakin's cot. Her Padawan is sprawled out on it, various limbs protruding from beneath the tangled sheets. His snoring is soft and familiar, and Obi-Wan smiles a little, unfolding from her meditative pose and wrapping herself in the blankets. "Thank you, Master," she whispers at the ceiling and closes her eyes. She wakes up to the familiar sound of Anakin muttering to himself while futzing with the droid. Obi-Wan opens her eyes and stares at the Durasteel ceiling, wincing at the pain in her ribs, the white-hot score across her thigh, the throb in her upper arm. Two things are certain. Dooku's Bacta isn't very good quality, and the painkillers have worn off. She breathes in, grasping for the familiar Jedi tricks that control pain. They aren't as effective without the Force, but they help enough that she can sit up, wincing. Anakin looks up from where he's sparking two wires together. "Master, are you all right? You look pale." "I am quite all right," Obi-Wan lies, and slides off the bed to limp into the fresher. When she looks in the mirror, washing her hands and splashing water on her face, she finds that she looks pale and rather delicate, dark hollows under her eyes. A shadow of herself. No wonder Anakin is worried. She depresses the control for the door and drags herself back out into the med room, where Anakin promptly corners her against the door. "Anakin?" Obi-Wan blinks up at him. Her Padawan had surpassed her in height when he was 14, much to her distaste. Anakin uses his height as a weapon as much as he does his lightsaber, to corner and intimidate. It's a weapon Obi-Wan has never been able to teach him to use, and one that he has never used on her before. "Obi-Wan," he says. He looks worse than she does, closer inspection reveals. Haunted and a little desperate, his hands trembling on the stray droid part he's still gripping. He backs her against the now-closed door, one arm up to block her escape. She's fairly certain that she could still get past him if she wanted to. She's better at hand-to-hand than he is, even if he has height and weight and the advantage of not having 5 blaster wounds on her. "Anakin," she says again, "what are you doing?" His gaze is fixed on hers, his eyes dark with frustration and desire. "I've been thinking about what you said last night. About how I told you we'd discuss this after we returned to Coruscant." "Well, you know I'm not a very good listener." "But I see you remembered the rest," Obi-Wan sighs. "The important part," Anakin says, "where you said you loved me." Obi-Wan closes her eyes, sighing. "The relevant part, where I said we'd discuss this after this affair had concluded. I don't want to wait." "You're going to have to," Obi-Wan says firmly. She puts her hand on his chest to push him away, but he sets his feet and doesn't move. "Obi-Wan," he says again. "Get out of my way, my very young Padawan," Obi-Wan says, which makes Anakin flinch and fall back, looking like Obi-Wan has just slapped him. "What a charming tete-a-tete," Count Dooku observes from the door. A medical droid approaches Anakin and Obi-Wan, gripping a pair of hypodermic needles in its hand. "Is this really necessary, Count?" Obi-Wan sighs, submitting her arm to be stabbed. She glances aside and draws in her breath as the drug enters her system, damping down the little bit of the Force that had leaked through as her last dose faded. Anakin does the same, glaring at Dooku. "Considering your reputation, forgive me if I don't entirely trust you, Master Kenobi. Shall I have you cuffed as well?" "No," Obi-Wan says. I remember what you said would happen if either of us resisted. He smiles a little.
Indeed. Have you given any thought to my offer?
I'm willing to present your offer to the Jedi Council, Obi-Wan says. I'm afraid I don't have the authority to negotiate on their behalf, however.
There is one thing you can offer which they can't, Dooku invites.
Obi-Wan stares at him. No.
No?
He glances at Anakin, pointedly.
I can be considerably more persuasive if you'd like.
Trust in the living force.
You don't want me that way, Obi-Wan says. You want me to say yes and mean it.
Jedi or not, Master Kenobi, I could make you mean it. He lets his gaze flicker up and down over her body, appreciative.
Come with me.
Where are you taking her? Anakin demands, taking half a step forwards before one of Dooku's bodyguards gets in his way. He stops, clenching and unclenching his fists.
To meet some old friends, Dooku says, glancing at the mess Anakin's made of the cleaning droid.
I'll have a real toolkit brought to you, though what you've accomplished with makeshifts is quite impressive. If you do fail the trials, I see that you'll have a promising career as a mechanic.
What? Anakin snarls at him, outraged.
Anakin! Obi-Wan snaps.
Charming, Dooku observes.
Master Kenobi?
She sits down on the edge of the bed to pull her boots on, then the leather jerkin, pinning her hair up by touch in four looping braids at the back of her head.
Anakin, chapped by the Magna Guard, watches with his arms crossed over his chest.
If you hurt her, you'll hunt me down and rend the flesh from my bones. Hardly a fitting threat for a Jedi, even a Padawan.
He sounds bored more than anything else.
Come, Master Kenobi.
Obi-Wan straightens up. I am not one of your dark Jedi to be summoned like a pet.
Not yet.
She follows him anyway, aware of the last Magna Guard falling in line behind her, and Anakin staring glumly at her back.
It would have been so easy to let him, Obi-Wan thinks distantly, distractedly. Let him kiss her, let this, whatever this is or could be, happen.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Jedi are only people, and Master and Padawan live in each other's pockets day in and day out for years.
Not many Jedi leave the Order, but more than half of those who do leave it for love. And no few of those are, or were, Master and Padawan.
Obi-Wan is sure that she'd had her fair share of fantasies about Qui-Gon when she'd been Anakin's age, and even more embarrassingly, fairly sure that Qui-Gon had known. But she'd never acted on it. Never would have. She may have spent all but the first year and a half of her life in the Order, but even as a Padawan, especially as a Padawan, she never would have chanced doing anything that might jeopardize her position, not when she knew what was at stake.
Why me? Obi-Wan asks the back of Dooku's head. I'm just another Jedi. There's nothing special about me.
Not like Anakin.
Whether or not Anakin is the Chosen One, which is a Jedi myth that Obi-Wan isn't particularly sure she believes in from day to day, there is something special about him.
Not that she'll ever admit as much to Anakin.
Such a good Jedi to be so modest, Dooku murmurs.
You are, in fact, more than just another Jedi, as you so charmingly put it, Master Kenobi. You are the only living Jedi to have destroyed a Sith Lord. And you did it when you were only a Padawan. Don't you think that makes you remarkable?
The Force was with me that day.
As it was not with your master, Qui-Gon Jinn. You are twice the Jedi that Qui-Gon ever was.
Stung, Obi-Wan snaps. Qui-Gon Jinn was loyal to the Order and to the Republic, which is more than I can say for his master.
Dooku smiles.
You know, Master Kenobi, there are other arguments on my views on another Jedi. I could talk about the corruption of the Republic, the disorder in the Jedi, the power of the dark side. But I suspect that you wouldn't be interested in any of that. You know it all already, and you don't care. But there are two things you want. You want your Padawan to live, and you want the war to end. I can give you both.
Perhaps I don't want you to, Obi-Wan says coldly.
Oh, I doubt you do, Master Kenobi. But pride isn't very fitting for a Jedi Knight. Will you risk the Republic for it?
I will never join the Sith Count.
So you say now, Master Kenobi. He gives her a thoughtful look. You are a strange one. The power of the dark side doesn't tempt you. You've touched it before, but it has never touched you. I suspect that you could walk in the shadows of the Sith tombs on Korriban and emerge unscathed. Few Jedi could.
And you want to corrupt me? Obi-Wan says. I am a Jedi Knight, Dooku. I cannot be so easily undone as all that.
Say yes, Master Kenobi. Save the Jedi. Save the Republic. Save that foolish Padawan of yours. I am certain that, given time, I can convince you of the wisdom of my ways, of the ways of the Sith.
I am willing to present your proposal to the Council, Obi-Wan repeats stubbornly. I do not have the authority to negotiate on their behalf on a matter of this importance.
And if the Council agrees to my terms,
Dooku says, sounding faintly amused.
All of them?
Obi-Wan swallows, feeling faintly sick. Then you'll have your Jedi pet to count. Chapter 4. Somewhat to Obi-Wan's surprise, Dooku takes her to what must be his private holocom chamber. Obi-Wan programs her identicode and the Jedi Council's information in, frowning a little when she gets the ping back. That means the Council is out of session at the moment. Would you like to leave a message? She puts in Yoda's information instead, waiting until she gets a positive response, and steps up onto the platform next to Count Dooku as Yoda flickers into existence in front of her, pale and blue.
Good to see you it is, Obi-Wan,
Yoda says.
Say the same for you, Count Dooku. I cannot.
Dooku inclines his head slightly.
As ever, Master Yoda, it is a pleasure to speak to you again.
Yoda ignores him.
Well, you are, Master Kenobi.
I am recovering, Master. Thank you for asking, Obi-Wan replies. Mace Windu appears beside Yoda, slightly out of breath.
Obi-Wan, it's good to see you on your feet. Anakin's report on your condition was somewhat alarming.
For me as well. Masters, Count Dooku has asked me to present an offer to the Jedi Council on his behalf, on the condition that neither the Senate nor the Supreme Chancellor be informed.
Windu and Yoda both glance at Dooku, who doesn't speak.
It's the middle of the night here,
Windu says finally.
It will take some time to assemble a council.
Record this message and consider it at your leisure, Dooku orders. I assure you that Master Kenobi isn't going anywhere.
Very well,
Windu says.
Continue.
Obi-Wan clasps her hands behind her back, breathing in.
On Geonosis last year,
The Count informed me that there was a second Sith Lord in the Galactic Senate. As you know, Masters, the Jedi Council investigated the claims and found no evidence of its veracity. The Count has informed me once more that the Sith is still present in the Senate and has offered to reveal his identity to the Jedi Council with several conditions. First of all, the Senate must agree to treat peacefully with the Confederacy. Secondly, the Sith in the Senate must be removed from power. Thirdly, he wants me. Windu, who had been nodding along with this, blinks and stares at her.
Beg pardon.
Obi-Wan waits a moment for Dooku to chime in, but when he doesn't, she says, "The Count has made it quite clear that one of the requirements of this bargain is my inclusion as a hostage. Although I hope that Master Kenobi will become more than that in time," Dooku says, with an amused edge to his voice that makes the hair go up on the back of Obi-Wan's neck.
"The return of the hostages is non-negotiable, Count,"
Windu says.
"Both Master Kenobi and Padawan Skywalker must be returned before any further action is taken once your claims have been investigated."
"Oh, Skywalker you can have, if he'll leave his master," Dooku says. "I have no use for him. But Obi-Wan Kenobi stays with me."
"To give a Jedi Knight to the Sith, an unhappy option is,"
Yoda says, his face inscrutable.
"Require further discussion, this will."
"Of course," Dooku says. "I expect nothing less. Present my offer to the Jedi Council. Meditate on it. Talk amongst yourselves. Remember that if the Supreme Chancellor or the Senate hears of this, Skywalker and Kenobi will die."
"You have made that quite clear,"
says Windu.
"Obi-Wan, stay strong and trust in the Force. We will not allow harm to come to you or your Padawan."
"Yes, Master," Obi-Wan says, bowing. "May the Force be with you, Masters."
"And with you, Obi-Wan."
Dooku flicks a hand at the projector to turn it off.
"Well done, Master Kenobi," he says. "I'm sure it won't take them too long to come to a decision. Not with the lives of two Jedi at stake."
"The Council will not agree to the use of a Jedi Knight as a bargaining chip, Dooku," Obi-Wan warns him. "You were a Jedi Master once. You would do well to remember that some things are not negotiable."
"Everything is negotiable, Master Kenobi. Including you. You're..."
He lingers over the pause, a small smile playing around his lips.
"Honor."
"Jedi have no honor, Count. You know that."
"Jedi like to believe that. You ought to know better, Obi-Wan."
Obi-Wan doesn't shudder this time, though it's a near thing, because it's not merely her body that he's threatening. Dooku is a Sith Lord. He wants her soul. "I am a Jedi Knight. Your Sith tricks will not work on me," she says instead.
"I can wait." Dooku smiles.
He doesn't touch her. He doesn't have to. Instead, he beckons at her the way he might a pet.
"Come with me."
Obi-Wan follows him. She doesn't have a choice. Her booted steps are near silent on the floor as they leave the holocom chamber, proceeding in a hallway that looks more or less the same as all the others. With the Force, she could probably pinpoint exactly where she was in the ship, following the glowing tracks of her presence back to the med room, and maybe even to the hangar where she and Anakin must have been brought on board. Without it, she's as lost as any Force null being. Well, perhaps not quite. Even without the Force behind her gaze, her eyes pick out tiny imperfections in the walls and floor, differentiating one corridor from another, marking out weak spots and differences, and storing them mentally away in the archives of her memory against some future necessity of knowledge. Somewhat to her surprise, Count Dooku leads her into one of the ship's hangar bays. Obi-Wan doesn't understand why, until she sees who's waiting there, and barely conceals her automatic grasp for a lightsaber that isn't there. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Asajj Ventress scowls, her hand going to one of her own lightsabers. The Darksider is flanked by two of Dooku's Dark Jedi. Tol Skoor, whom Obi-Wan had read about in Master Thom's intelligence reports but never met personally. And Obi-Wan's old friend, Quinlan Vos, who defected from the Order just over a year ago. They've known each other since they were both Padawans. Anyone who didn't know Vos as well as she does would have missed the flash of panic in his eyes when he saw her. Ventress, Obi-Wan says coldly. Skoor. Vos. Hello, Obi-Wan, Ventress says, after a moment's consideration and a glance for confirmation at her master. She prowls around Obi-Wan, trailing her fingers across Obi-Wan's chest, and smiles. Predatory. Dangerous. What brings a Jedi like you to a place like this? Not my own intentions, I assure you, Asajj, Obi-Wan says. The other woman hooks her fingers into Obi-Wan's belt, smiling. Not so brave without your lightsaber, are you, Obi-Wan? I didn't need a lightsaber to escape your prison on Ratatak, Asajj, Obi-Wan reminds her, smiling back and letting an edge of her bad mood finally shine through. Or don't you remember? Ventress's smile vanishes abruptly, and she closes her fist on Obi-Wan's belt, pulling her close enough to kiss. I remember you stole my master's lightsaber, and my ship. She grabs Obi-Wan's chin, her fingers tight enough to bruise. If your Jedi tricks are so powerful, Obi-Wan, then why are you still here?
I have her Padawan, Dooku intervenes.
Skywalker? Ventress says, momentarily distracted. Let me kill him for you, Master.
As tempting as the offer is, I require him to keep Master Kenobi here from doing anything rash. For the time being, at least. Unless, of course, she decides to take me up on my offer.
No, Obi-Wan says, flat. What do you want with this Jedi Master? Skoor demands. Kenobi's high up in Republic Command. She'll know more than that Jedi spy Shyler.
There are other things that I want from Master Kenobi besides information, Dooku says. For example, that she take your place, as she is at least twice as intelligent as you are.
Skoor scowls. I've heard all about Obi-Wan Kenobi, he says. You're shorter than I expected, Jedi.
And you could do with washing your hair more than twice a year, Darksider, Obi-Wan returns coldly.
She raises her hands and shoves Asajj Ventress away, knocking aside the other woman's arm as Ventress moves to strike her. A shake from Dooku's head stops his protege, and Ventress steps back, scowling. If this is yet another pathetic display of everything I could gain from joining you, Dooku, then it's a very poor show. Obi-Wan goes on, drawing herself up straight. Unless you actually do plan on torturing me, in which case I advise you to get on with it, I'd like to be escorted back to my cell. The company here has just become insufferable. To her distaste, Dooku looks more amused than anything else.
If you insist, Master Kenobi.
Commander Ventress and I have something to discuss, anyway. He raises a hand to get the attention of two of his Magna Guards, who fall into position on either side of Obi-Wan. She leaves the hangar with her back straight, aware of Asajj Ventress's gaze hungry on the back of her neck, like she's thinking about getting it between her hands and squeezing. Well, she's never liked Obi-Wan. She probably is. They're most of the way back to the med room when she hears footsteps behind her. I'll take General Kenobi the rest of the way, Quinlan Vos says, catching up to the Magna Guards. the Count's orders. It must be, because the Magna Guards leave Obi-Wan with her old friend without a moment's hesitation, proceeding down the hallway with heavy clicks of their metal feet on the geranium floor. Obi-Wan crosses her arms over her chest, wincing at the way it pulls at the healing wound on her left arm, and turns to face Voss. "Come to plead for your new master, Quinn," she demands. The year or so since Obi-Wan had seen him last hasn't really changed him. He's the same old Quinn, minus the Jedi robes, now exchanged for black leather that leaves his arms bare, showing off the yellow Kefar markings across his left forearm. Obi-Wan glances at the lightsaber on his hip, wondering her chances of getting to it before Quinn can stop her, but they aren't good. Quinn's just as fast as she is, without the wounds, and with the Force to help him. "Didn't expect to see you here, Obi-Wan," he says. "I didn't expect to be here. I'm sure you can ask your new master for the details, as I have been in a Bacta tank for the last 2 days. "I can sense your injuries," Quinlan says. "Why aren't you using the Force to heal yourself more quickly?" "I can't. Count Dooku has some kind of drug that blocks the neural connection to the midichlorians that allow us to manipulate the Force." Obi-Wan raises an eyebrow. "I'm surprised you don't know about that." "Count doesn't tell us everything," he shrugs. "Or all that much, come to think of it." "Somehow I'm not surprised," Obi-Wan says bitterly. "What do you want, Quinlan? You want to torture me too? Threaten to kill my Padawan? Maybe make an example of me for Thalm and Yoda, like you did with Master Kakrok?" "Oh, yes, Quinn, I heard about that. What started out as a simple spying has turned into something more. You have gone over to the dark side." She turns away from him, deliberately cruel. "Take me back to my cell. I have nothing to say to a traitor." Quinn grabs her arm to stop her, his fingers digging into the wound there. Obi-Wan bites back a cry of pain and he lets go immediately, apologizing and holding out his hand with the Force gathered around it. Silent peace offering. "Fine," Obi-Wan says shortly, clutching at her arm. She hisses out through her teeth as coolness descends, the muscle mending itself, the flesh knitting back together over it, leaving behind a lingering soreness and what Obi-Wan knows will be an ugly scar. Quinn's never been a particularly delicate healer. "Thanks," she adds, grudgingly. "You want me to do the rest?" Quinn offers, though he looks rather dubious about his own abilities in that arena. "Just give me a boost," Obi-Wan says. "Dark Jedi or not, it would be foolish to refuse his help." "Bacta will do the rest." She sighs in relief as the pain recedes, Quinlan frowning in concentration as he passes his hands over her wounds, patching up the ones on her torso and healing the graze on her leg completely. "You're pretty beat up, Obi-Wan," he says. "What happened? You're not usually this clumsy." "What do you think?" Obi-Wan says, taking the opportunity to lean against the wall. "I got tired, I got careless, I got shot, and I got myself and my Padawan captured for it. So that now Dooku has leverage when he plays his tricks with the Council. What do you care anyway, Quinn? Not like we're playing for the same team anymore." "There's more going on here than you know, Obi-Wan," Quinn insists. "Just trust me, all right?" "Why? I saw what you did to Kruk on Coruscant. Are you really going to try and tell me that it's all just an act?" Quinn shakes his head, leaning close with one hand resting on the wall beside her left shoulder. "You know I can't talk here. Dooku's..." He goes still, eyes narrowing, then mutters, "Play along," and kisses her on the mouth. Obi-Wan goes stiff with indignation, flattening her hands against Quinn's chest in protest. "Anakin," she thinks bewilderingly, and makes herself kiss Quinn back, moving one hand to the back of his neck to pull him in closer as she spies Tol Skor approaching from around a corner. She and Quinn had made out a few times when they were teenagers, but that's always a dangerous route to take for Jedi, and they had long since settled into being very good friends. So that's what you wanted from Kenobi, Skor observes, and Obi-Wan takes the cue to shove Quinn away, wiping the back of her hand across her mouth. Traitor scum, she says coldly. Both of you. Come on, Obi-Wan, Quinn coaxes. You and I go way back. I don't care if we were in the cradle together, Voss. I already told you. It's over between us. I am a Jedi Knight, and you're nothing but a slave of the Sith. Skor is starting to look extremely entertained. What about that purple-haired bit of yours then, Voss? Get tired of playing in the dirt? Don't talk about Colleen. Obi-Wan takes the opportunity to slap Quinlan. Hey! He protests. Obi-Wan! Like I told the Count, unless you're planning to torture me, take me back to my cell. Traitor. She adds again, for good measure. Don't tempt me, Kenobi. Quinlan snaps, grabbing her arm and propelling her down the corridor, while Skor follows in their wake, guffawing. Much as I hate to admit it, Skor's right. You know more than Shyler did. Another Jedi you murdered! Obi-Wan spits, her gaze flickering to the control panel, as Quinn hits the button for the door. Droid parts go everywhere as Anakin leaps up, his face contorted with outrage when he sees the two dark Jedi. Let her go! Or what, Skywalker? You'll talk me to death? He shoves Obi-Wan inside, the door sliding shut behind them. Anakin grabs Obi-Wan's hands, drawing her toward the bed and installing her firmly on it. Are you all right, Master? Did they hurt you? What did Dooku want? What are the renegades doing here? Obi-Wan bats his hands aside. Ventress wants to kill you and torture me. Skor just wants to torture me. I think Quinn wants to help us. Dooku still wants me to join him. No, and yes, better than I was when I left. Does that about cover everything? Yes, Anakin says, blinking as he backtracks his own frenzied questions. Osage Ventress is here? That hairless harpy, Anakin! Anakin stares at her, his jaw set stubbornly. She tortured you, he says. The words fall like stones in the empty silence of the room. His gaze is bleak, distant for a moment, lost in memory. Obi-Wan reaches for his left hand, entwines his fingers with her own, both of them calloused and a little scorched from long years of lightsaber use. I remember, she says, but that was in the past. Pay attention to the present, my young apprentice. Trust in the living force, I know, Anakin says, abruptly present again, his gaze direct and focused. He looks down at their joined hands, then up again at Obi-Wan's face. I'm not just going to forgive and forget, you know. She made me think you were dead. For weeks. And she tortured you and Alpha. We are Jedi, Anakin, Obi-Wan reminds him. We never forget, but we always forgive. I don't think I can do that, Master. Anakin, I can't. I won't. He meets her eyes. Some things don't deserve to be forgiven. And we are not the ones to decide what those are, Obi-Wan says, not liking the turn the conversation has taken. She can tell that he already has a rebuttal ready at his lips, but to her relief, he doesn't voice it, just turns his head aside and stares down at their hands. Obi-Wan starts to draw hers back, but he stops her, his grip tightening on hers. So, Ventress is here, he says, changing the subject. And Quinlan Voss and Tol Skor. Did you see anyone else, Master? Sora Bulk, or... He racks his brain for the other Dark Jedi Dooku has recruited, but Obi-Wan is already shaking her head. Just those three. The good news is that I was able to make a report to Master Yoda and Master Windu with Count Dooku's offer. Anakin's mouth twists. What do they say? They'll present it to the Council, She smooths her thumb down the seam of her trousers. There's something very odd going on here. I don't understand why Dooku won't allow the Jedi to at least tell the Supreme Chancellor. Technically, we have no authority over senators unless we actually have confirmation of... She stops, an unpleasant thought nagging at the forefront of her brain. I don't get it either, Anakin is saying. Palpatine could help. He could order all the senators to have their midichlorian counts tested, or... Unless the Supreme Chancellor is a Sith Lord. Anakin stares. No! He exclaims. No, that's impossible. That's insane. I know him. It all makes sense now, Obi-Wan says, staring past him. This whole war, everything. No, it doesn't, Anakin wails. Palpatine's my friend. He's Padme's friend. He's the Supreme Chancellor. Master, don't you realize how crazy that sounds? He's the Supreme Chancellor of the Republic. The Order would know if there was a Sith Lord practically next door to the temple. You're just jealous because you think he keeps undermining your authority as my master. I mean, for the love of... He saved my life! He... That shakes Obi-Wan out of her stupor. What? When?
On Jabim, Anakin says blankly. When we were deciding who would stay and who would go to the Mesa, we were all going to stay, but then the Chancellor requested that I leave and lead the evacuation efforts. And everyone else stayed and died. Everyone else died there. All my friends. All the Jedi. You.
For a heartbeat, his gaze goes distant and distracted, lost on a path which Obi-Wan can't follow. She'd read the official report on the Republic's disastrous defeat on Jabim when she'd returned to Coruscant following her escape from Ventress's dungeons on Ratatak, but Anakin, the only Jedi to make it off the planet alive after Obi-Wan's capture and presumed death, hadn't spoken of it in the weeks since her return. Obi-Wan doesn't know how to breach the distance that had opened up between them during their absence. Everything that had happened to Anakin, everything Ventress had done to her. They are master and Padawan still. Both of them have been carrying on as if nothing else had happened. Anakin, Obi-Wan says tentatively. He can't have known about Jabim, he says despairingly. He can't have, or about you. He scrubs his hands through his hair, his eyes wild. No, it's insane. It's a Sith trick. Obi-Wan looks at his frenzied expression and makes herself say, very likely, even though some part of her is ticking up all the proofs in the back of her mind. The previous senator from Naboo had been murdered. Palpatine had been elected chancellor during the crisis on Naboo, when the first Sith Lord had appeared. He'd authorized the creation of the Grand Army of the Republic. Every Jedi who's ever been close to him has died in the war, all except for Anakin. He's steadily been eroding the freedoms of the Republic's citizens. A thousand other tiny things, things that Obi-Wan had never considered on their own, but when put together form a cascade of evidence.
The one who intends to replace me with a new apprentice, Dooku had said.
And he'd looked at Anakin.
Obi-Wan's hand closes on Anakin's sleeve before she can stop herself.
He looks back at her immediately, panic fading into worry.
Master?
It's nothing, Obi-Wan makes herself say. I will never permit him to have you. Whoever the second Sith is, neither you nor I can do anything about it at the moment. We have our own problems to concern ourselves with.
Anakin runs his hands through his hair. Shaggy and starting to grow out since the last time they'd been on Coruscant. Again, then settles back down with a visible force of effort, tension evident in the lines of his shoulders.
Yes, Master, he says miserably. You said something earlier about being better than when you left. And I can sense that you've been partially healed since, but you're still force-blocked.
Quinlan,
Obi-Wan supplies, glad for the distraction. He gave me a boost. She thinks of the security camera and compromises. We were Padawans together. He wasn't happy about seeing me here, but we were very good friends before he left. Defected, Anakin scowls. She inclines her head. Can I see? He asks hesitantly, his fingers hovering over the buttons on her jerkin. I can sense that you're still hurt. I should... Obi-Wan closes her eyes for a moment, then nods. You might as well change the bandages, she adds, and starts shrugging out of the jerkin, then the shirt, as Anakin leaps up to find the Bacta bandages he'd used the night before, nearly tripping over a stray droid part as he does so. Obi-Wan puts the clothes aside and peels off the bandage on her upper arm, finding the wound there reddish and raw, but within a week it'll be nothing but scar tissue and a bad memory. Anakin comes back and perches on the bed beside her, his breath warm against her skin as he unwinds the bandage around her torso. I've been thinking, Anakin says tentatively. Color me shocked. He smiles a little. I can, you know. I've been thinking that we should talk about what you said last night. I know you said you wanted to wait until we were back in Coruscant, he adds quickly, when Obi-Wan opens her mouth to remind him of this. But we're here now, and we don't have anything else to do except talk, and I think we should, because if we don't, then Dooku's going to use it against us. He's already trying to use it against us. And you've always said that you have to understand a weapon in order to counter it. He's right, damn it. Obi-Wan looks at his earnest gaze and says, All right, but not right now. Let's finish this first, and I want to meditate. Of course you do, Anakin says, giving her a small, hopeful smile. He pulls the last of the bandage aside. That looks much better, Master. It does. Quinlan had given her a boost equivalent to another 2 days or so in a Bacta tank, and while it still hurts, not as healed as the wound on her arm or her thigh, it's significantly better than it had been a few hours ago. I guess Master Voss is all right, Anakin concedes, reaching for the new bandages. I guess, Obi-Wan agrees. She glances at the droid pieces strewn across the other bed and the floor. What are you doing with the droid? Anakin glances at the camera. Making it better. It doesn't usually take you this long to fix a broken droid, Obi-Wan observes, lifting her arms so that he can get the bandage around. It's not broken, Anakin says. Obi-Wan shrugs and lets it go. He's clearly up to something. Did Dooku send you the toolkit? Anakin nods. I don't know why, though. I can hack the door now if I can get through the paneling. There's no door control on this side. Maybe he just wants to keep you from getting into any trouble, Obi-Wan suggests. He snorts. You do have a plan, don't you, Master? That depends. Obi-Wan says as he finishes and sits back, wiping the last of the Bacta off on his trousers. On what? On what the Council decides. She pulls her shirt back on. Is there anything to eat?